I would like to have a precision about what you call cyclic population. Does that everybody agree on that? Because when you say cyclic, for me, that means there is changes between years. But it doesn't give you any information about the amplitude of the cycle. I'm concerned with vols. And so this cyclic means really cyclic in your talk, or just high-density population for a long time?
Well, cyclic, I would call that there are regular population crashes.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have an extreme amplitude of high populations and extremely low populations,
okay.
Yeah, as you, I think, observe in France, which we don't have
okay.
in southern Germany. And still, I think the prevalence level in foxes is quite comparable.
Okay, so I have a second question. So what about the level of the population in the example you showed in Germany? Because it seems that there are some important index, I mean large value of index, if it is just index of presence of animals, that means you have some densities of a small mammal. We are not at low density, even if it is stable. Agreed or not?
Yes.
Yeah,
we don't have the extreme absence of the.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So one point which is surprising and it's.
This is the last question.
That's just a comment. One thing which adds to your presentation is that if you we were citing about Ardennes, in this case they have very low density, and in this case they have a high prevalence in foxes, relatively high prevalence in foxes. So I agree with you, but I will not be too certain about the terms. Okay.
Yeah, so I think the consequence is that the worm is very adaptable.
Yeah.
Okay, other questions? Titia.
I have a question about a frequency. If you look at the increase in years, isn't that what the differences in the sensitivity of the methods that we're using, that we now use PCR and we used to use only microscopy? That's actually what you're seeing.
Well, in some studies we have this problem. For example, I showed you the map from southwestern Germany, where, for example, the macroscopic examination methods have changed over the years. So, looking at some individual studies, we have some questions as to the validity of the data. But looking at integrating the number of studies, there is no doubt that we have a certain a trend. Because we haven't found any study with an adverse effect showing a decrease of prevalence, for example. So we can be, I think, quite certain, despite these problems in diagnostic changes, for example.
Other questions?
Antti Oksanen, I'm sorry I arrived a bit late. I may have missed something, but did you discuss muskrats? And you told that coypies have a higher prevalence than muskrats. Do you have any idea why?
Frankly, no. There are actually two conflicting studies. I've listed them here. One was done in western Germany, near the Rhineland. They showed 7 of 120 koipu infected, and none of them had a fertile infection. They were all sort of sterile growths with no protoscolices. And in the same area, a lot of, I think 20% of the muskrats were infected. So it was no doubt that the muskrat is an important animal and the koipu not. So we did the same or similar study in southwestern Germany, near south of Karlsruhe, and we found actually the opposite. We found a highly infected koipu population, and from the same waters we had a very low infection rate in muskrats, which is not surprising because this is an area of southwestern Germany where very few foxes are infected. And all the more surprising is the large infection rate in the koipu. It may have something to do with the sheer size of the animal, which eats more food, and has a bigger chance of ingesting eggs. It's also a rather long-lived animal compared to the other rodents. Maybe that's the answer, but we don't know.
Okay, another question over there.
Uh, Do we have evidence of fox predation on koipu or muskrat? So in other terms, are these species considered as intermediate host or rather as sentinel of the increase of prevalence?
Yeah, we certainly are. I mean, we have no real scientific evidence, but we have the evidence from hunters from that area, which know the area well. And they say at least the muskrat is a regular food item of foxes. Koipu is also rather regularly killed. But, of course, both animals are restricted ecologically. So they don't occur generally everywhere. So they are rather focally distributed. So I think the importance specifically of koipu may be either local or it may have something to do with dispersal of the parasite because these animals, they migrate.
Okay. Eduardo.
The different fertility of the in the koipu due to several passages of the parasite in this host and the adaptation of as other parasite, for example in vivo in a laboratory, well, are adapted after several passages to laboratory animals. And well, since this is a new host, a new intermediate host, this.
We can't rule that out, but we can't prove it either, because then it would require that the parasite is exclusively transmitted between dog and koipu without involvement of anything else. So between fox and koipu. Yeah. But we can't really say that for sure if this is the case.
No, it's only
but it's an interesting idea.
Thomas, do you think we need another European project?
Projects are always good. They bring money.
And what is the most important research question in Europe, in your view, on animals?
Well, I think to decide that, we should maybe listening to the other contributions. And I think at the end of the meeting, we will have a sum up. Here there are two colleagues sitting who will
but
have
that is too easy. What is your opinion?
Well, It's up to the group to decide the priorities. really.
Do you think we need more surveillance in foxes?
Well, I think we need more standardized surveillance, and I think
so
we will have also contributions on that, sort of to agree on common sampling strategies, because many of these studies, which have been done by individual groups, they are difficult to compare, because the sampling designs are very different. And when it comes to sort of applying models, we will hear something today or tomorrow about that, then it's rather difficult to take data from other areas and compare them between them. I think that's one of the priorities, actually, that should be done.
You also stressed on not only prevalence is important, but also to estimate the
population
infection
density.
Rate to the biomass in the environment. Do you think we need that for all areas in Europe to estimate biomass?
Well, I think that's very ambitious, and I don't think anyone will pay that. But
why do we need to know it?
Good question. Knowing is just a matter of finding out for on the transmission. And also making maybe a forecast of an area like Netherlands. I mean, you have the situation that you have the parasite in some parts and in some parts you don't have it, but I think it's not quite clear why.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an approach. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, I think we need to finish now. And thank you very much. Oh, you have another question?
It's a comment, really, not a question. EM is not actually present in the UK, but we have recently found a translocated macaque infected, translocated from Germany, I add, infected in the UK. And the samples were sent to Salford University from a vet group. And we found EM, confirmed it molecularly, and unfortunately we weren't allowed to publish because the zoo just would not.
But that's an intermediate host, I guess. It was an intermediate.
It was, no, sorry, it was, I didn't mention it. It's a macaque, monkey.
Yeah.
infected as an intermediate host, yes.
Okay.
But that's, EM in the UK where it, a first record.
But is there a risk for the epidemiological situation then?
It may be a risk if there are foxes around, if the macaque died outside a fence or something and it was...
Okay, thank you very much, Thomas. And I think we need to proceed. No, I have to finish it now, otherwise we... As Thomas mentioned, we have two reporters in during this session, and at the end of day two, I think, they will wrap up the most important issues discussed.